My brother David died alone in my mom's basement when he was 37 years old. He died of alcoholism, obesity, and depression, but I often have wondered if the real cause of his death was the fact that he didn't have enough people coming around him in community and showing him the relentless love of God in a consistent way. I believe that how we respond to the pain of others is perhaps the single most important task in front of us if we want to follow Jesus, but we're all hardwired to avoid pain at all costs. We avoid our own pain and we avoid being near the pain of others. But I believe that our ability to thrive in life, our ability to have a deep and transforming relationship with Jesus is directly connected to our ability to walk through pain together. Now, I actually made it through the first 25 years of my life pretty much pain-free. I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is about as much in a bubble as you can get. I had two older brothers, Dan and Dave, who were my heroes, two parents that loved me. I went to a great school, had a great church family, had lots of friends. To be honest, life was pretty easy for me growing up. My first job after college was teaching fifth grade in a community very different from the one I grew up in, where almost all of the kids lived below the poverty line. In fact, the first person I ever met in my life who was experiencing homelessness was a 10-year-old girl in the class I taught. It was after my second year of teaching that I went on my first trip to a developing country. My dad invited me to go to Haiti with him to train teachers there. I'll never forget the first two words I learned in Haitian Creole. Mwe grangu. Mwe grangu. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Young kids would run alongside the cars we rode in, crying those words, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Now, as a teacher, I'd seen poverty, but I'd never seen anything like this. Kids with literally no food to eat, no safe water to drink, and often no shelter over their heads. It broke my heart. In fact, I came back from Haiti with an application to be a teacher there. But I was getting married that next summer, and everyone told me, my friends and family, everyone told me that moving to Haiti as newlyweds was a bad idea because it just wasn't safe. And so despite a deep desire to do something to help those kids, I froze. I chickened out and I let fear get the best of me. Instead, I took a full-time job doing youth ministry with Youth for Christ, working with high school kids. And my time with Youth for Christ was amazing, but I knew deep in my spirit, I had ignored a call from God to do something to help those kids in Haiti. Well, it was during my first year at Youth for Christ and my first year of full-time ministry that I had my first real personal experience with pain. My dad went in for what was supposed to be a routine shoulder surgery, and something went wrong in the recovery room, and he slipped into a coma. And he died in the hospital 3 days later on Mother's Day. It wrecked me. It shattered my faith. Here I was in my first year of marriage, 25 years old, in my first year of full-time youth ministry, and I was struggling to even talk to God. Well, 2 years later, almost to the day, I got a phone call that changed my life. It was one of my high school buddies, Mark Smith, and he was calling to tell me he was going to run the Chicago Marathon, and he wanted to know if I would come watch him run it. Notice Mark did not ask me to run the marathon with him. At the time, I weighed 265 pounds, and I couldn't run around the block if someone was chasing me, and I hated running. But I heard a quiet whisper that I believe was the Holy Spirit, and it was just two words, do this. So despite the fact that I'd never even run in a 5K, I signed up to run the Chicago Marathon. And over the next 6 months, I trained very, very slowly. But something amazing happened out on those long, slow runs. I started talking to God again. To be honest, sometimes I was yelling at him. I was hurt and angry, and I figured he had it coming. Sometimes I would just be on my run, and I'd step off the side of the road and weep. And sometimes I was just listening to him. And then on October 15th, 2003, I told the starting line of my first race ever, the Chicago Marathon. And it was electric, and I wish I could tell you that I crushed it, but I did not. In fact, it was pretty awful. That race was harder than I could have imagined It nearly destroyed me, and I barely even finished. But it changed my life spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And I decided that day I would do a race like that every year for the rest of my life. And it was that experience, that journey, that led me a couple years to help start Team World Vision as a way to invite people to step through fear and take on the challenge of running a marathon, but not to do it just to lose weight and get in shape, but to help children living in the most extreme poverty in the world. That first year, we had just 100 runners or so step up to run the Chicago Marathon. And over the past 15 and a half years, we've helped around 100,000 people cross finish lines, and we've raised about $100 million to help children and communities around the world. I have had a front row seat to see God change lives, both here when people step through fear to run a marathon, and I've traveled all over the world more than 20 times to see the incredible life-changing work World Vision is doing and that we're raising money for. But I've had even more heartbreaks along the way. You see, when my dad died, one of the toughest realizations I had soon after he passed was that I was 25, and that was the first time I had experienced any real pain in my life. And I started doing the math and figuring out that the longer I live, the more pain and heartache this life has in store for me, that there is more to come. It was just 8 years after losing my dad that we lost my brother David. Now, David had already been battling his weight and his battle with alcohol and depression, but the loss of my dad beat him down and beat him down until he wound up spending most of his days alone in my mom's basement, where eventually his battle with his weight and alcohol and his depression took his life. David was 37 years old when he died. He left behind a young wife, widowed, and 4 young kids without their dad. And then just as I was catching my breath and getting back up on my feet, a few years after we lost David, my brother Dan died. No real explanation. He went upstairs to get dressed for his daughter's 8th grade basketball game, and he never came down. Dan was 45 years old. He was a pastor. He also left behind a young wife, widowed, and 4 young kids without their dad. And as if losing my dad wasn't enough, losing 2 of her 3 sons absolutely broke my mom's heart. And losing my 2 best friends literally crushed my spirit. And as it is with pain in this world, sometimes it just seems to keep coming. This past Christmas, heartbreak came to our home once again, as I watched my mom slowly lose an 18-month battle with cancer. Over the course of a few months, I watched her body break down, and I spent the last 2 weeks of her life with her at her bedside. We set up a bed, hospital bed, in her living room, and I had the chance to hold her hand as she took her last breath. A week before Christmas, on the 7-year anniversary to the day of losing my brother Dan. A few months after Dan died, I came across a Bible verse that completely rocked my worldview. It's Psalm 34:18, and it's just one sentence. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed." You know, I've learned the hard way that there's more pain and heartache for me and for each of us in this life than we could ever imagine. But here's the deal with pain. Either you've already been through a painful experience like what I'm talking about and you can totally relate. Or maybe you're here today or you're watching today and you are in the midst of the most painful experience you could have ever imagined right now. Or at some point you will be headed into one. Pain is inevitable. It is unavoidable. Now maybe your pain isn't the same as mine. Maybe it's not the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a divorce or a lost job or a struggle with infertility or depression or some other shattered dream. And like me, you've been disillusioned in your faith. You've been hurt or even angry with God when things went terribly wrong. But friends, God does not promise us a life free from pain. In fact, take a look at our heroes in the Bible. They did not live lives of ease and comfort, but their spiritual journeys were forged through times of pain and heartache and suffering, and so are yours and mine. What does Psalm 34:18 have to say to me when I'm facing pain? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. It tells me that when I'm brokenhearted, the Lord is close to me. Even when he feels a million miles away, he is with me. And when my spirit has been crushed, he will rescue me. But you know, it is so easy to get caught up in my own pain. It's easy to forget that there are other hurting people in this world. You know, when I was a kid, if I wasn't getting my way, I'd often say to my parents, "That's just not fair. That's just not fair." And my parents would say lightheartedly, "Well, guess what, Michael? Life's just not fair." You know, they were joking, but isn't there so much truth in that statement? Life isn't fair. We want it to be, but life isn't fair. Well, after losing my dad, I found myself yelling that at God all the time. "God, this isn't fair. This isn't fair." And one day I was standing in my mom's kitchen and I let those words slip out in front of her. And my mom, who was reeling with grief, had the wherewithal to gently remind me of others in our world who've truly experienced the unfairness of this life. She reminded me that there are kids that are going to die today because they don't have enough food to eat or safe water to drink. She reminded me of refugees fleeing war and famine and violence in search of a safe place to go. And you know what? They're not going to find one. She reminded me that there are more people trapped in slavery today in 2021 than at any point in human history. There are young kids being forced to fight as soldiers in wars that they have nothing to do with. And there are young girls as young as 10 and 11 years old being forced into marriages with grown men. It is easy to get focused on our own pain and become self-absorbed and feel sorry for ourselves. We can forget that there are brothers and sisters of ours all over the world who are facing unimaginable pain and loss and suffering. A couple of years before my dad died, on Father's Day, my brother Dan gave him a gift, and it was a journal called A Father's Legacy. And on one of the last pages that my dad wrote on, he answered this epic question: "What is the spiritual legacy you would like to leave for others?" Here's my dad's response, written on his way home from an amputee camp in Sierra Leone, Africa, where victims of the civil war there were being fitted with makeshift prosthetic limbs made out of old truck tires and pipes. Several pages in this book were written on my Sierra Leone trip. This is my last one on the way home. As I sit here in a first-class seat and I think back of the people on the streets of Freetown, the poverty now that I've seen in Haiti, Nicaragua, and Freetown has forever changed my life. The absolute luxury we enjoy in America is hard to enjoy once you've seen our fellow man living in poverty, not knowing if they will have a next meal or when they'll have a meal. What spiritual legacy do I want to leave? Only that we will remember the poor and do what we can to relieve their suffering. Friends, I have found that there is often very little we can do about our own pain, but there is always something we can do to help relieve the pain of others. And here's the deal. If we want to be close to God, we need to go where God is. And God is close to the brokenhearted. So you and I are called to draw near to the brokenhearted. Well, the year after David died, I was out to lunch with my good friend Tommy, and I was actually trying to talk Tommy into running a 56-mile ultramarathon with me in South Africa, and we're going to do this race to help find sponsors for kids all over the world. Well, Tommy was not into this invitation at all. He was in for the ultramarathon, but Tommy's response rocked me. What he shared was hard to hear, and it challenged the entire ministry I'd given my life to. He told me he just couldn't understand how I could spend so much of my time and energy focused on trying to help kids on the other side of the world when my own nieces and nephews had just lost their dad and were hurting so badly. He wanted to know how I could care so much about these kids all over the world. They weren't my kids. They weren't my family. They were, in his words, other people's kids. it wrecked me. I was hurt. I was speechless. I was on the verge of tears in this restaurant, and I had to stop and think for a moment. Maybe Tommy was right. Maybe Tommy was right. But y'all, Tommy wasn't right. Because you see, to Jesus, there is no such thing as other people's kids. There is no such thing as other people's kids. It was just a few months after that conversation with Tommy that I met my sister, Josephine, in Kenya. I didn't even know I had a sister in Kenya until I met her. I had just run that ultra marathon in South Africa, and then I had the chance to travel to Kenya and meet my World Vision sponsored child, Maureen, and her mom, Josephine, and their family. At the time, their family literally had no access to safe water. In fact, they had to walk down a mountain two or three times a day to get water that wasn't even safe to drink. The child mortality rate in their community was 50%. That meant that Maureen only had a 50-50 shot of seeing her fifth birthday. There was no access to health care. The school she went to was a wooden box infested with termites, and Josephine, her mom, often had to wonder if there'd even be food for the kids to eat on a daily basis. Her family has needs and fears and worries, the likes of which I'll never have to know. But while Josephine has been praying for a better life for her kids, back home, thousands of people have been stepping up to sponsor kids in their community. And now, everything has changed. They now have access to clean water right outside their home. They now have a healthcare facility right in their community. Maureen's school is one of the best I've ever seen. They don't worry about if there's going to be food to eat anymore. Maureen and her siblings now have the opportunity to pursue God's purpose for their lives. And Josephine often says, "Michael, you and your family were the answer to our prayers." But friends, the truth is, they were the answer to my prayers. See, I thought I was doing something special for Maureen and their family by choosing to be her sponsor. But I have been changed in immeasurable ways. My entire worldview has changed. The way I understand God's love for me and for his world has changed. The way I understand my own pain and heartache and the pain in the world has changed. The things I talk to my 7-year-old son about has changed. If you would have told me 11 years ago that sponsoring Maureen for $39 a month would change her life and her community, I probably would have believed you. That would have made sense to me. But if you would have told me the immeasurable ways that my life would be changed from that relationship, I would have had no frame of reference. It just wouldn't even have made sense to me. But friends, my life has been forever changed because of this little girl and her family. I've got a picture of Maureen with my son, Cruz. They've actually had the chance to meet a couple times. I need to be very honest with you. I can't stand here and tell you that I love Maureen, my sponsor child, the same way I love my son. And it's very humbling to admit because I do believe that's what God's calling us to do. You see, for my son, I would turn over heaven and earth to make sure that he has every opportunity to pursue God's purpose for his life. And God is calling us to be willing to turn over heaven and earth for kids like Maureen so that she and kids like her can pursue God's purpose for their lives too. Because to God, there is no such thing as other people's kids. We are all family. What I can tell you is I'm learning to love Maureen the way I love my brother Dan and Dave's kids, my nieces and nephews. I'm learning to love Josephine the way I love my sisters-in-law, Jamie and Kim. And the crazy thing is, I know their family loves me too. We are family now. Are you willing to expand your definition of family today to include a child like Maureen, a child on the other side of the world living in desperate need? In just a few minutes, we're going to share a big vision with you, and I want you right now to prepare your heart to say, "Yes, I'm in." For 70 years, World Vision's been partnering with churches all over the country to partner with communities around the world And we've been inviting people to step up and sponsor kids. And typically what this would look like is you would leave church today or online, you'd go online and see a picture of a child and you'd look at their faces and you'd be the cutest kid or the best smile and you'd get to sponsor a kid today. And that's amazing. But this past year, God gave us a big vision. We began asking this question, what more could we do to affirm the God-given inherent dignity of these kids from the very first step in the relationship with their sponsor? And we wound up asking this incredible upside-down question. What if for the first time ever, these kids were empowered to choose us? Here's a small glimpse of what that looks like. Every single time I watch that video, it lights my heart on fire, and I'm ready to say yes a million times over. You know, Pastor Travis is out this week celebrating his wedding anniversary, but he did not want to miss this weekend. He actually has a huge vision for this church this weekend. And so I had the chance to sit down with him and talk a little bit about that vision. Let's take a look at that conversation. So Travis, tell me what was happening in your heart and in your spirit the first time you saw that chosen video.
Well, the thing that I remember when I saw that video was the joy on their faces. You can just see it in them. They're just lighting up. And you think about it, a lot of children, regardless of the culture that they're in, they don't get a lot of opportunities to decide anything. They don't get to choose anything. But especially those who are in poverty, they don't get to make a lot of choices. And so I just saw the dignity affirmed in them as they had the opportunity to choose.
Yeah, I love that too. I love these kids being empowered to make this first step into the relationship with their new child sponsor. You know, something awesome about Chosen is that if we weren't in the middle of this global pandemic, the plan was you and I were gonna hop on a plane tonight and we were gonna fly to this community in Honduras and we were gonna be with those kids this week while they chose the people from Oak Hills. And because of the pandemic, we're not gonna get to go right now. We are gonna go at some point. As soon as it's safe, we're gonna get to go meet these kids. But you know, there was some discussion we had around, should we wait? Should we wait till we can actually go and be there for the choosing party, or should we do it now? What was it that made you decide, you know what, we can't wait on this, we gotta go now?
Yeah. And we did think about waiting, but then I heard that this is the first year in 20 years that global poverty has actually taken a step backwards, meaning it's worse this year than it was the year before, for the first time in 20 years. And I just realized this isn't something that we need to wait to do. These children, they have waited long enough to get the opportunity to choose. And here's the deal. We will go at some point.
Absolutely.
We've still got plans, right? We're
Absolutely.
Still going to do that because I'm excited to get to see that community. I want to meet their teachers. I want to meet the families. I want to meet the kids. I want to meet the pastors. I want to get a chance to meet everybody in this community. But this is an opportunity. We just didn't feel like we could wait.
Yeah, I love that. I love the prioritization of their needs over our wants, right? We would love to wait and go be there, but we recognize the need is just too great. We gotta move now.
So talk to me about what's your big vision for Oak Hills Church this weekend.
Well, here at Oak Hills, we love to dream big. So we believe we have a big God, and we don't have a lot of use for small goals. And so here's our hope. Our hope is that every single person, every single family, whether they're watching online or whether they're in person, that they would step up today, sign up to be chosen. So we have this community in Honduras that has around 900 children that are waiting to choose their sponsor. And the way I see it is if every single one of our families step up today, we're going to cover all 900 of those children. All 900 of them will have the opportunity to choose us. And so we're hoping for every single family, every single person to step up today.
Amen. I love that God-sized goal. Just that's amazing. If God would move in people's spirits and in them in that way this weekend.
Well, church, this is an opportunity for us to step up together, to be family to another family around the world, and to do this together. We have said we want to be a people who authentically love others. Why? Because Jesus first authentically loved us. And so I want to encourage you right now, whether you're in person, whether you're watching online, this is an opportunity to step up and to be able to serve this family in Honduras. So here's a cool thing. In just a moment, you're gonna get some more details about this, but we're gonna have a Facebook group that's gonna be put together. And in real time, we're gonna get to see your pictures that you're gonna be taking today come up on the Facebook group. And I can't wait to see your picture pop up there, waiting to be chosen. So Michael's going to give you some more details on everything of how you can step up today. But friend, right now, I just want to encourage you to let the Spirit guide you and let's love out loud.
You know, I love Pastor Travis's big vision to see every single person, every single family at Oak Hills sign up to be chosen by a child in Honduras. And that if we did that, there would be no child in that community left waiting for a sponsor. And Travis and his family were actually the first to sign up to be chosen. And when you sign up today, your photo is going to be uploaded to that Facebook page for your church. And you're going to get to see each other's photos and like and comment. And Pastor Travis already texted me this morning. He's watching online right now and watching your pictures get uploaded as we speak. This week, on Wednesday, there is going to be a party that is going to shake the planet, where hundreds of kids are gonna gather in this community in Honduras. And your pictures are gonna be hung up on strings. And they are gonna be empowered to choose you. And I just can't wait to see which kiddo chooses each one of you. Y'all, the truth is, each one of us needs to be reminded that we are seen, that we are chosen. And by saying yes to being chosen today, by letting a little child in Honduras have the power to choose, we are being reminded of the unearned, unmerited, gracious, relentless love that God has shown to us. And we are declaring that just because these kiddos in Honduras have less doesn't mean they are less. We're putting the power back into the hands of the seemingly powerless. We're restoring the devastating circumstances that people in this community face. And we are affirming the God-given inherent dignity of these children as sons and daughters of the Most High. Here's how it's going to work. Not very often does anyone tell you to pull out your phone during church service, but I'm going to tell you to do that. You take out your phones right now. I'll give you a second to do that. And what you're going to do is you're going to take out your phone and you're going to text this number, 56170, right in the place where you put the two. You put in 56170. And if you're here in person, in the body of this, in the content, you put the keyword OHC. And if you're watching online, the keyword is OHC online. So go ahead and get started doing that right now. You text 56170, and in the body you put OHC if you're here in person or OHC online. Then what's going to happen is you're going to get a link that bounces back to you, and you click on that link, and you're going to start filling out a form. It's going to ask you your personal information, but I'm not going to walk you through all the simple questions on there except the first one, which is this: how many children would you like to sponsor? Some of you may choose to sponsor a child for everyone in your family or for each of your kiddos. But what's going to happen then is your photo will be printed that many times and those kids will choose you. And then as soon as service ends today, if you're here in person, what you need to do is go out the back doors, go straight out the back doors, and we've got these amazing, fancy photo booths set up, and you are going to take the most incredible picture you've ever taken in your life. Smile big, because someone's going to choose you. And I've been at these choosing parties, and it's so adorable. Sometimes a kid sits there and looks for 5 or 10 minutes and looks through every single photo before they pick one. And sometimes that kid is ready to go, and we say, go choose your photo, and they run straight to the person they're drawn to. And it's so amazing to hear these stories of why these kids chose us. So if you're here in person, you can go out the back doors right after service. If you're having any trouble with the text in, just go back there. We got folks to help out. If you're online, what you're going to do when you finish the form, you're going to upload a selfie. You can pick from your photo library, or you can take a brand new epic photo and upload that. And then check this out. Those photos will go up on the Facebook page today. And then next week, you, if you're here in person, you're going to get an envelope with your name on it. There's going to be a picture of the child who chose you holding your picture. And if you watch online next week, you'll get an email with that photo as well. Here's the deal. We got to get these photos and get them to Honduras. So you need to do that right after service today. But we're going to leave it open till 8 p.m. tonight for your friends and family. So if you're watching online, do it right after service. If you're here in person, go right out those back doors after service. But then you can call your friends and family, because we don't want a single kiddo in this community to not have the chance to choose their sponsor this week. Friends, I am so grateful for you. Thanks for letting me share a bit of my story and what God's done in my life with you today. In just a minute, I'm going to pray for you and invite Pastor Mike back up. But I just want to tell you, I can't wait to see all your beautiful photos go up on the page today. And I can't wait to see the kiddos that choose you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the relentless love that you show us. God, I don't know what folks are going through, but I know that there are people in this room walking through the most painful experience of their life right now. God, will you remind them that you are close to them, even if it doesn't feel like it? Will you remind them that you can rescue them? And then God, empower us. Give us the wisdom and discernment and ability to step into the pain of others, the pain of those around us, the pain of those on the other side of the world. God, help us to learn to love out loud like you call us to. And Father God, I pray right now that you would be preparing these kiddos in this community of Honduras as their moms are praying for a better life for their kids, as they're worried about where their next meal may come from. I pray that the people in this room and the people watching online would be the answer to those prayers, but that our lives would be transformed through these relationships as well. We pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.